The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, we're very happy to say we have a six-time All-Ireland winner, twice an All-Star, seven times Leinster champion as well with Dublin, Johnny Cooper, to the show. You're there, Johnny. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks so much for making time for us. Congratulations, I guess. I don't know. It's like Happy New Year. I don't know how long after winning All-Ireland people stop saying congratulations.
I think we're well beyond that stage, but I do appreciate your sentiments and your congratulations.
Has it sunk in any way more so over the last couple of months in any great way? Is it any way particularly different to the other five? Is it business as usual? What's the aftermath of the five in a row been like?
Yeah, no, I think you absolutely enjoy it for what it is. Obviously, last year there was a massive narrative and an external, I guess, narrative that is in terms of the five in a row. So when that happens, albeit they're only judged and they're only, you know, stock is only placed in their own right in terms of 2019. And there's obviously lots of things and lots of people clap you on the back, which is a very dangerous space to be in as well. But you certainly enjoy it for what it is. The occasion and the family and players and Jim and his manager team and everything else that goes into it. So that happens. Then you go off and you enjoy yourself for a few weeks. You go back to your club, so you somewhat reset. Depending on how far your club goes, then you get a break. And I guess it's kind of flown in now. Here we are in February and we've a new manager team and we're three games in. So and we're looking to, I guess, push on and improve with all that long in the distant memory.
Let's start with some of the good stuff. What does a Dublin player on the ball putting his hand in the air mean exactly?
Expect me to answer that truthfully.
Probably not.
Has a few different meanings, but we'll let you, the experts, figure it out.
Okay, well, we'll do that and we'll make a right mess of it, I'm sure. It's a race to see who writes the autobiography first to reveal that, I think.
Yeah, well, there'll be a few contenders probably to get it out there, but best of luck with getting it.
Okay, I suspected as much. So how's life generally? I see work-wise you're with DCU Recruitment.
Yeah, really good. Very ambitious in my own area, outside of sports, that is. So DCU have been very great to me. I've been there since I was a student, so I've been an undergraduate student, so there a number of years, and now that's kind of transitioned and evolved into now being involved in recruitment there. So that's brought lots of challenges. I'm doing a master's in organization behavior and psychology, so that's brought lots of challenges, but also obviously lots of learning. So now trying to complement my off-field direction as much as maybe I've applied myself around the sports the last number of years, so really looking forward to maybe getting involved in a few different things, and also then just the space and the learning that's actually out there because of that.
Psychology is obviously an interesting area, so I don't really need to ask you what attracted you to that. I totally get that. So you're doing a part-time master's in psychology. I've seen as well, obviously you're trying to further your knowledge of various things. You have popped up in some not odd places, but interesting places. I've seen you over at Saracens. I've seen you standing next to Leo Cullen, Stuart Lancaster at Leinster training sessions, even, I think, Steve Hansen in New Zealand as well. How does all that come about?
I just think you probe and you ask as much as you can. You know, the ones that you mentioned there, would it be me just cold calling or reaching out to people or asking somebody who maybe knew somebody to ask somebody else type of thing. So I'm very lucky that people have maybe returned some emails or some calls, very lucky to be actually involved, be around some of them environments. Lots of other things as well in the background from, you know, watching different things online, reading books, articles. Obviously academic study at the moment has me in that particular headspace. So they come about just through asking questions, and I've found the last, okay, some people won't and haven't come back to me on opportunities that I'd love to, I guess, but at the same time, you have to be gracious and understanding for people's time, I guess, as well.
What do you get from a day at a Saracens or at a New Zealand or a Leinster training session, for instance?
You know, you're probably going into them thinking, okay, listen, I'm just going to stand in the background, I'm just going to watch, which I do. And you don't really expect maybe to pick up, or it's just those conversations that happen in the corridor. Maybe it's over a bit of food or a cup of tea or a break they have in their own days, because they have long enough days themselves. And then, you know, going off and say someone like in Saracens, Owen Farrell, you know, spending 2 hours at Owen having a cup of tea, you know, and then trying to understand. And obviously his dad's involved with our national team, and Owen's younger brother plays for Clonagale in Ringsend there. So you're making all these little connections, and then you're trying to go from there, and you're trying to say, okay, how you see things. And I have a lot of time for someone like Owen. You see him on different snippets. He doesn't come out that much for different snippets, and you see his behaviour and how he carries himself. And obviously he's a young enough England captain, and is leading them at the moment. So it just kind of evolves in all sorts of different ways. People like Mark McCall and Saracens, people like Leo and Stuart have been really excellent. Can't thank them enough in terms of the time and stuff behind the scenes they've given me and helped me with. So, and a couple of other people and organisations that have been helpful too.
That's pretty gracious of someone like Owen Farrell, who, for instance, would most likely have very little idea who you are and what you're about and what Dublin are about. Maybe he did, maybe he's a closet GAA fan, I don't know, but to give you that kind of time.
No, certainly, and I just like to think, anyway, he had no idea who I was. That would be right too. But then when he was talking about Clonagale, he was talking about his younger brother enjoying it. So I guess just on a very basic level, you're able to connect with him, and you're, like, obviously I'm looking to learn myself, but you don't want it all to be a one-way relationship. You're trying to think, oh God, I know Clonagale, I know the area, it's a great club, lots of structure, and he's trying to then connect that to his own brother who's obviously enjoying it. So you're trying to, I guess, be respectful and not have it all be a one-way relationship, but at the same time, you know, I have a couple more years left in my own sports career potentially, and you're trying to then maximize and extract everything you can. And obviously talking to one of the best people in this craft in the world, and getting that opportunity, it's hard to kind of fathom as well how you actually get it. But when you're sitting there across and 2 foot away from them, and you're seeing what you see through a TV set most of the time, it's kind of a bit surreal in many ways, but also you're in the moment, so you're trying to, as I said, be in the moment, but also be very responsive. And how did you see that, or what would you do there, and how could I then map that back onto my world, professionally and sportingly, and obviously personally as well. So
And is it in the main? I mean, it sounds like it's more mindset, but it's interesting you've kind of got into the rugby environment there a little bit with Saracens, Leinster, New Zealand. Is there anything tactically you can take from the game of rugby, or skill set wise, or is it in the main more so mindset and general approach to sport?
I think it's probably a number. I don't probably go in with any predetermined. I'd love to know a call, or love to know a structure, or love to know a game management element, albeit they may come to the fore. If I was going in with anything, it's around behaviours, it's around people, it's around how they interact, you know, again, on that human, on that basic human level. You know, sports is obviously the next after being a human being. So that behaviour thing is very interesting to me, how people interact with others, how then that interaction as a whole comes together to then interact with an organisation. Do you have the alignment with the top table? And I guess the players, or the management of the players. So it's just very, very fascinating to me. Obviously, rugby has been something, and they are very, very open, and that's something I'm grateful for. I've been lucky enough to be down in Australia and AFL recently as well. So you're trying to see it from different sports, both team sports, I must say, and also individual sports as well.
You sound like a man potentially who wants to get into management at some stage in your career, or is this stuff you're going to apply to any business, any kind of executive level, I suppose? I saw you saying to someone you'd done a little bit of executive coaching. Is it all in a bid to further yourself professionally, or can you see yourself going into management sports-wise?
I have no real end goal in mind. I love people. I love performance. I'm so blessed and lucky enough to have a day job that gives me an ability to interact with people and try help them in many ways. And then I go at night time and I try help another group of people, and they can also help me. So no real outcome in mind. I've loved and learned so much from Jim and Deck and all his management team, and I love that side of it. But at the same time, you know, I can't miss the point of I'm here to play and play as best I can while I still have the opportunity.
So I think you're 30 now,
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So how has your preparation changed, or, you know, the one percenters that you're, I'm sure, all the time thinking about? How different is your prep across a year to when you were 21, 22, 23 now?
Yeah, I think in many respects, when you're that age, you're seeking everything. What's that? How's that work? What would that work? How would that work for me? And you're trying to apply, and lots of times you're kind of failing in terms of it doesn't apply to you. And then as you move and you progress through your career, you're trying to solidify then elements that, okay, that has worked for me the last 2 years, but that maybe hasn't. And each time you're trying to, I guess, structure or frame your season or your training or your thinking in a slightly different manner, slightly different way. You're trying to take down input from coaches, trying to take down input from maybe other sports, other literature that's out there and so on. So I probably just have a greater awareness of myself, and that's probably the only thing I can probably say for sure. When I was 20, 21, I was trying to be like lots of people, other people, trying to prove myself to be other people, particularly around Pat Gilroy and other people. At the end of the day, I am who I am. I have the skills I have, and maybe I'm not as quick or as big as someone else, but maybe I have something else that's under the surface. Maybe it's leadership, maybe it's communication or an ability to manage a situation. I'm very much comfortable in myself, I guess, more so in terms of how I've developed and currently where I stand. And I'm very aware that I have a lot more that I want to know and want to get better at in order to apply that to the sporting field and professional fields.
I seem to remember, this is a vague memory, I think it's when Chris Kamara and Jeff Stelling showed up at your house, Territory. You kind of grew up close to Croke Park?
Yeah, so the family home is, yeah, like my mom and all the family meet there before a game and walk around. It takes them probably a 10-minute walk to get down to Croke Park, so we're that close, I guess. Right.
So was Croke Park always, you know, the shadow, that was the aim? You know, I'm obsessed with GAA above all other sports, or what were your interests growing up?
Sports is always, I'm just very lucky in lots of respects, but one of the ways I'm very lucky is that I grew up in Glasnevin, which so happens to have my own club, Nafine, in it, whose values then kind of aligned and mapped on and added to my own family values. Then I go to DCU and they give me a little bit more of an insight and a bit more perspective from people nationally around the country, all sorts of other inter-county players that are currently still playing. And then you eventually get invited into Dublin. In terms of my own drive, it was always GAA, but that wasn't for any particular reason other than, well, I guess my family more so, but I was and always passionate about other sports and I guess people in general, how they interact in their own context to get better and high performance in that respect.
That was quite an interesting Nafina side, I presume, growing up. Were you kind of standing watching Kieran McGeaney at close quarters?
Yeah. Outside of Dublin, I must say, Kieran was my hero growing up, so I would have watched many, and he didn't come out with it, and he's a player in terms of interviews and so on as much as I guess he's doing around because he's the manager of a team now. But and then you flip that away from say Kieran and his side and other people that were there, and you had then Desi and Jason and Sen and a few other inter-county people, Dublin inter-county people along the way. So again, I'm very blessed and I'm very fortunate. I show hopefully internally a lot of gratitude to having those people in and around my life, and now it's kind of come. And all of a sudden, I'm working with Desi Farrell because now he's manager of a team that I'm involved with. So literally, I'm gone from a 12-year-old watching them on a Wednesday evening when they play for the club at that particular time. He wouldn't know, have an idea who I was, but I was very much watching. So, look, it's funny how things work out, I guess.
Yeah. Jeez, I mean, you've never escaped, have you?
No, I haven't been given an opportunity, but I'm also very grateful not to be allowed to escape either.
I'm sure. So why are you a defender?
I love the cutting edge. I love the cliff edge where sometimes I have fallen off and took the wrong step for whatever reason. And then sometimes I've remained there. I've showed mental resolve. I've done enough research. I have the capabilities in that moment to make the decision. I just love the way there's no safety net. Mm. Okay, there's a goalkeeper behind you or not too far away from you. But ultimately, which... again, it comes back to one of my first games. I think it was my first game against Kildare a number of years ago. I slipped and a goal goes in, and that is it. Mm. And that is what I love about it. And then, you know, I've had many good and bad examples of that. I love it. I love the research. I love sometimes I'm too detailed and too obsessive, but, you know, I just love the whole area. And again, I think it applies well beyond sports, you know, applies to relationships. As I said, I'm very ambitious. Professionally as well, so trying to apply that kind of some of those elements to that.
And Johnny, tell us about the research. What does that amount to?
So it could be anything, and again, you're trying to pick up patterns. You're looking at tape, obviously, of yourself, of my own colleagues in Dublin. So if somebody wins a ball, there's obviously a reason why they won the ball. So you're trying to go to root cause, trying to go back maybe a couple of frames, see where they came from, see what the opposition player did. And again, this is all kind of, I guess, internally. Mm. Then obviously there's lots of learnings, you know, would have, say, like anyone pick any one of, you know, Tomas O'Shea or any one of the Mark O'Shea the defenders that have played outside of Dublin in areas around what you're looking, okay, they won that ball, okay, we don't have the same camera angles that maybe the we have advantages of at the moment, but okay, there's, if I rewind it there, they came from somewhere to win that ball, or they, or maybe it was a mindset, or maybe they're just switched on a second or two. So I guess the research can and feel and looks different in every situation, but basically what you're looking to do is arm yourself with all the knowledge that you think then in that split second to be able to pull out of your brain and use and apply in that moment. And obviously that can work sometimes, and it might work other times.
You know, it's fascinating. And I mean, it's interesting to hear you talk, because for all the GAA has changed, and it has changed so much, and generally we're seeing the vast majority of players going up and down the field in unison. But you're still, in your mind anyway, in part, it's a me versus him, one-on-one, that sense of jeopardy. If I slip, it's a goal. That man-v-man approach is still there in your head, it seems, certainly in part.
I think so. And I, irrespective of the, I guess, the challenge it gives you on a sporting sense, it just keeps me alive. It keeps, in a sense of, I mean, it keeps you wanting more, searching for more. Okay, you know, lots of times you have sure heard lots more than I have around inches and one percenters and so on, but they are really valued, because, I mean, you know, I remember a game against Donegal 2010 All-Ireland final. Michael Murphy, who was a colleague and teammate of mine in DCU at the time, at that time was on the opposition team, and he hits the crossbar. And the crossbar for me, and I always recall this, you know, what is it, 3 or 4 inches? And effectively that 3 or 4 inches was the difference on that day, where we won a game and he lost the game. And okay, I'm not saying that Michael in that instant didn't do enough or whatever, but I mean, I think when it all is flattened out and everything's said and done, the cards fall on the table, that I'd like to think that all those small gains and small little wins that you've had along the way would pay, or pay dividend in some way towards you getting what I guess maybe you deserve.
Well, I guess you have to think it, don't you? When you give up so much of your time and so much of your life, you have to feel it's going to come to fruition. Where's the enjoyment in it for you? Like, I mean, it's fascinating to hear where we are in 2020, the way you're talking about what it takes to win 5 All-Irelands in a row. The detail you go into, the mindset is very apparent. Where's the enjoyment?
The enjoyment is just trying to get a piece of information, trying to apply that piece of information, and try then to see if that then can make you a little bit better than the next person. Right. For me, I don't know. Look, obviously, everyone's very different, and I can't speak for any one of my other teammates. But you know, the winning is nice, and it's great, and it's unique moments in time that I'll never get in any other respect, with my family in particular, and club mates. But at the same time, when it's over, you're like, God, there's no training on Tuesday. Okay, back to the club, but there's no training for Dublin on Tuesday. I'm not gonna be with the lads, or I can't apply myself. I can't call Owen Merchant and go, will you come a half an hour, I want to try some, you know. And it's just that, and maybe that's just my, or that is certainly my personality, and I know other people maybe look at things differently, but the enjoyment for me is just finding something that nobody else has spotted yet and trying to apply that, and possibly, as I said, get that little bit of return off.
Right, okay. So for instance, to follow that thread, if you call Owen Merchant and say, let's go up to the field half an hour earlier, I want to try this tackle technique. Is it that kind of thing? I want to try putting my hands here. I want to try standing that close to you. Is it that intricate?
Yeah, and there's a good chance, to be fair, Owen be already at the pitch before me, you know. Yeah, that's the level that he's at, and you know, and it's brilliant because I'm chasing his tail now, and others doing the same, leading the way and pushing the boundaries and asking questions. But yeah, essentially that's it, and you're trying to, I guess, try things in a walking pace potentially, or maybe trying in your mind first, and you're going, that would work, and then you're trying to walk, and then trying to jog at it, and then potentially, and some, and lots of ideas never get to the All-Ireland stage, whatever it happens to be, but you're trying then to just, you know, it's a bit like anything else, you know, what worked, what got you here won't get you there, and trying to figure out that next, and who knows what the next thing is.
Yeah. No, it's really amazing. You mentioned Owen Merchant there, got his goal in the All-Ireland final. It was interesting, Jim Gavin said that was, to a degree, a set-piece move, or certainly the patterns of movement which allowed the pitch to open up for Owen Merchant had been rehearsed to some extent or other. Do you have many moves as a team like that? Do you have many patterns?
I think you go in with lots of ideas. You go, and if this happens, we'll do that. This happens, we'll do that. And in some cases, they happen, but they tend to not all be aligned and happen all together. With Owen's goal, it opened, but it opened for a reason. And from that point of view, Jim is probably highlighting maybe the smarts or the emotional intelligence of some of the guys to get out of the way and give them that space in that room. I wasn't surprised in any way that even though he doesn't typically be in those positions, it wasn't surprised in any way that he executed the way in which he executed, because I've seen him do it in lots of different respects. And even this is before he got involved with Dublin in the club, and my brother coached him all the way up from, you know, under 13s and 14s. Right. So I've seen and heard of the abilities that he's had, and he's able to, and that's probably the point, he's able to apply it to a situation which maybe he's never found himself in that much, but yeah, he's able to execute because of the intelligence and the capacity he has.
Yeah, no, he certainly sees the moment. When's the last time you ran half the length of the pitch and blasted a ball into the roof of the net for me? Come on.
How long do we have to go back? Under 12s, I think it was, a Northside Dublin game. Yeah.
You mentioned family there. So, like, you know, it's funny, we spend so much time talking about players and teams and watching the whole thing, and ultimately for you it's that nucleus, and what a lovely thought for your family to do the 10-minute walk from the family house to Croke Park to watch you play. So whose family, who are the people that you're waving at in the stands on those big days?
Yeah, well, I never seek them out, and that's the important thing for me. I think, you know, they'll enjoy it whatever way they want, and I'll stick in my lane and try to do my job for the team. But I think then after the game, you know, mam's there and being a massive driver, and just like every other guardian or parent, I'm sure, and people like myself driving all over the place for many, many years at any time of the day, and just giving you that full support, unconditional, I guess, when it goes good and when it doesn't go good. And I've had many, you know, off-field kind of failures and different things as well. And I guess that support, and you're trying to then somewhat reward them by channeling all your energy and your time, your spare time and energy into them, a cause that would hopefully give them, and she loves it. She's there before I am at games, away and in Croke Park, first one, or one of the first people certainly, and we would have went to games ourselves to the hill together, but one of the first people, and that's just a trait that she would have had from her own family. So, and then my two brothers and my sister. So look, I mean, that's obviously extended family, are all very supportive as well. So it's just trying to show gratitude, but in my way to show gratitude is I maybe won't, you know, take the wins and the losses to mean much, but I'll try to apply myself as best as I can in order to them to feel proud in whatever I get to do.
I have two last very quick questions. One, so the sending off, I know you've talked about this and the relief, and I can only imagine. If you hadn't had a second bite of the cherry, how difficult would it have been, say, especially if Dublin hadn't managed to come back in that first game, and it was quite incredible the way they managed to do that. How difficult do you suspect these winter months would have been? Like, how big a blow was it to you?
It's a good question. I mean, it's a hard one maybe to answer in a couple of seconds, but...
Well, take your time.
I mean, in a sense of, you know, it's probably I didn't have to go through that situation. But at the same time, if you think of it, you know, I didn't really add value to the team in the way in which I could anyway last year. So, you know, okay, Dublin losing All-Ireland, then you're going to do a bit of work. But Dublin won All-Ireland, but I didn't really do, personally, a massive amount to add my value. So I did not sort of the same thing. I need to get better anyway in both cases. And, you know, it's obviously a very unique experience, and it's somewhat easier to talk about now since Dublin came out on the right side after replay. But obviously the crosshairs, and deservedly so, would have been on my head after the first game. And at the same time, you're trying to, I guess, take out the learnings from the first day. And the window is, you know, it's tight enough. So, like, I'm a senior member of the team, so you're trying to consume and digest you and my and what I brought to the table versus them, what the position the team was put in. And then also you're a senior member of the team, so you have to lead the team into the next game. Not me personally lead the team, but you have to do things to influence teammates positively as well. So, you know, you have that yourself, and, you know, trying to get yourself, which is obviously very important, then trying to, you know, help the team out in different ways. So I'd like to think, looking back on the off season, that I analysed myself as acutely and as detailed as I would have if we had lost the game versus then us winning the game versus then the value I actually gave, as I mentioned, which, as I said, has lots of room to improve.
Yeah, well, thankfully it's a parallel universe you don't quite have to fully experience. The last one then, so I guess you've spent a lot of time on this. Can you give us a sense for you of how the mark changes how you're going to be interacting with the bloke that you're marking? To what, you know, this must be a fairly fundamental change in how you have to approach even where you stand next to a player and all sorts of other things I haven't thought of, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm still only in that process myself. It's quite new in terms of the practicalities and the practical experience I've had of it so far. Obviously, we knew the rule in terms of theory and wording and what it was. But until you get into the nuts and bolts, you're also starting to figure out. I think the bottom line and the exciting thing, and maybe I could eat my words at some stage, but the exciting thing for me is it forces you to be better as a defender. At the end of the day, some of the guys up the other end are scoring goals and taking frees, and Stephen's making saves, and that's their bread and butter. My and our bread and butter is, you know, defending and footwork and eyes and hands and connecting them all together to then combat a player that is trying to, you know, score against. So I think the bottom line is it's going to force you to be better and analyze situations slightly differently. It's going to probably entail you having to mark slightly different depending on the player you're playing, and that could be different in every game, versus the type of ball coming in, versus the conditions, versus many different things. So again, that's the exciting part. Will we have the mental, you know, as a player, will you have the mental and the physical capabilities to pull out the correct solution for the equation when the question is asked? Until the question is asked, you don't know the answer, but I'll enjoy doing the research to get there.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, listen, if a 6'4" lad starts jogging over to you, I'll give you two guesses what the question's going to be.
Could be anything. I've marked Kieran Donnelly, and if you try to mark them versus lots of other smaller people, so I enjoy both.
Good man. Listen, lovely having you on. Well done again, and best of luck for the season ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Cheers. That's Johnny Cooper there. And today, Johnny Cooper, he teamed up with Avonmore Protein Milk to launch their new premium protein milk, Avonmore Protein Gold. Avonmore Protein Milk, proud to support the GAA players as they become role models in their communities, both on and off the pitch. So that was Johnny Cooper.
The GAA Podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.